And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
All right, here we are, Spike's Car Radio. We've got a good show for you today. There's riding going on around us. Justin Long, host of Shop Class on Disney Plus, which, as you know, I produce, full disclosure, is on the show coming up in a little bit. Right now, I'm with Zuckerman at his Beverly Hills office. He's taking a break for lunch to chat with me, to chat with you. How are you doing, Zuckerman?
Excellent.
This is Monday. It's been quite a weekend, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, quite a weekend. I don't know if you know the Zuckerman. I think curfew is scheduled to start at 4. Look at the commitment for both
here
of us.
Are.
Here we are for you guys doing a show after just a wild, wild weekend. Where were you? I know we caught up with each other in Malibu for a couple hours, but did you spend the weekend in Malibu?
I was in Malibu. I was also in the city partially. It really depended on what time of the day. Things were very quiet in the morning, and then people get a little bit frothier as the day goes on.
Well, you were in Hollywood when Hollywood went up, right?
No. That was Hollywood went up on Saturday, and so on Friday, Saturday,
I thought you were in your Hollywood house.
I was in Hollywood Friday night. Saturday, I decamped.
Friday night, it went up in Hollywood.
Okay, then I wasn't paying attention specifically.
I know what you were doing. You were telling me to watch The Villain on what, iTunes?
Not iTunes, which was fantastic.
Is it on iTunes? What is iTunes? iTunes doesn't exist anymore.
I don't know. It was
how
on,
the hell
I
did you watch
through
it?
Apple Movies, whatever
okay.
it is. Did
okay.
I say iTunes?
Yeah, you said it's on the iTunes, Spike. And I said, look out your window, Zuckerman.
It was on the typewriter, Spike. It was on the typewriter and the telepost.
But while you were eating popcorn and watching The Villain, which I will watch, by the way, the rest of the city was going up. And then last night, Santa Monica, yesterday.
Okay, wait a second.
Hold on.
Wait a second. You're wrong. Friday night, we were together.
We were.
Yeah, you're completely wrong, Ferriston.
Oh, right.
Then
where did you spend Saturday night?
Saturday night, I was in Malibu. So everybody, write this down in the book. Ferriston said, you're right, Zuckerman.
Maybe it was Thursday night. There was a night where I was texting you going...
Saturday.
I know, Saturday night. Maybe it was Thursday night then.
Friday night.
There was a week where I called you, a night last week where I called you, and I said, are you around all this stuff?
Grandpa? You have lost your marbles. Friday night, we talked to Jerry from your patio.
That was a nice night.
That was Friday night. You
seems like years ago, by the way.
Seems like years. You served me 5 kettle chips and some popcorn in a little bowl.
And
you had cigars. I did not eat the mutant M&Ms.
There was a little bowl of M&Ms.
I don't touch those anymore. They cured me. I was addicted to those things. And then when I noticed how they were mutated, I stopped eating them.
Okay.
Because they're too foul looking now.
Right. So we
Friday
had a nice...
night was fine.
Yes.
Saturday morning, I decamped to Malibu. I'm pointing my finger at you so you listen.
I don't
Saturday
think anyone's
night,
quite interested in this
Saturday
conversation
night,
anymore.
People went crazy in Hollywood.
Yes, they did. And yesterday afternoon, they
was
went...
Santa Monica and Long Beach.
Wow, I'm going to get interrupted a lot in this show.
Because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. If you knew what the fuck you were talking about, I would interrupt you.
You are in quite a mood.
Yes,
quite
I will strangle you.
Mr. iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I saw it on the wall square.
Yes.
Anyway, let's not riot here, Zuckerman. We must remain calm in this room. But
Friday night, we were still hoping for calm.
We had a nice catch-up call with Jerry. We had a nice cigar in the backyard. It's that was fun. That was good. I don't think much came out of it as far as car talk, but it felt, again, kind of like normal life. And it seems like we were in this normal life-feeling space, weren't we?
Yes.
Before these riots happened. And things started to loosen up, and you felt like, well, wait, are we going back? Does this virus exist anymore? We were in this odd kind of middle area, and then the bottom fell out again.
Right.
And, you know, Santa Monica, 3rd Street Promenade, decimated. I'm sure you saw that.
Beverly and Fairfax, Melrose.
Yeah.
Good taste in looting places.
Right.
They wanted Gucci. Very bad in Beverly Hills. They could not get in there, so their second best was Alexander McQueen, but then there were many other stores they just turned their noses up on.
Well, how did Beverly Hills shut this down and nobody else was able to shut it down? Were they able to protect Rodeo Drive? Like, I mean, of all the places that you'd kind of want to go up, Rodeo Drive seems like companies could handle this situation.
I think that there was a much greater mass of people at the Beverly Fairfax area because the Black Lives Matter rally, which was very peaceful, that protest.
My wife was there.
That was at the Pan Pacific Park, which is very close by. And that the amount of people that were there gave cover to the looters in that area. There were no protests giving cover to looters in Beverly Hills. So that got put out much quicker. That was more of a flash mob target of opportunity.
There are a lot of people who don't understand that on the Nextdoor app. You know,
yes.
Not surprisingly, this thing went up, and I was trying to explain to them, and the news, I thought, did a pretty decent job. That because Erica was at both of these rallies. These rallies start and then end peacefully, and then these looters and criminals that, as you were telling me, are organized over WhatsApp, mostly teenagers, are using the rally as a cover for the crimes they're committing.
Right.
And they're two separate entities. Like, you know, they're, like you said, these protests are going off peacefully, and then there's this criminal element using social media. It's kind of genius in a way.
Yes.
Kind of just going in and jamming, and the police have been told not to do anything, and then you sit at home in horror watching this lawlessness.
And this is a really interesting confluence. I think that the right to protest peacefully, well, it's a First Amendment right, and it's a constitutional right, and people have a valid point that they want to make, and they're trying to do this through peaceful protest. Unfortunately, those necessary protests, those lawful protests, are being compromised by a very small criminal element, and it's been
on both sides.
On both sides.
They're also, have you noticed all the white guys with masks painting BLM on the wall with protesters saying, stop that? Who are these white guys with the mask?
Right.
Who are those guys?
Right. You have agents.
The Boogaloo Boys, I hear.
Yes,
who are the Boogaloo Boys?
I never
boys?
Heard of this before.
What is this?
With the Hawaiian shirts. So this is.
These guys don't have Hawaiian shirts, though, Zuckerman. I ran into some of these guys once before, and I'm like, these. You know, we were shooting something for my late night show at the Republican convention. We were out there, you know, just kind of having fun when times were kind of different.
Right.
With these goofball Republican groups. But there was this militant element of weirdos who I brushed up against who I went, I don't recognize what these guys are.
I don't recognize any of these people.
I think they're that paid right wing element that comes to mix with a peaceful protest, cause trouble, therefore discrediting the protest.
Exactly. And people are operating at all sorts of levels that I did not give them credit for. And then, of course, you have the purely criminal element. So you have the political element that's causing destabilization left and right. And then you have the criminal
right.
element. You have a lot of different elements. And obviously, the COVID is just a force multiplier. You've got...
We've already forgotten about it.
Yes. But it also, think of how many pent-up people there are, though. There's something
yeah.
happening outside at a moment when people are desperate for something to happen outside.
Zuckerman, the amount of disinformation coming in over rogue Twitter feeds that made it into my local feed, comments like graphics that said, everyone meet at 701 North Beverly Drive, Beverly Hills. 8 o'clock, we're going up. We're getting everybody. We're looting the houses. The amount of people who didn't just do a quick Google search to see if that was real, which it wasn't, but the specificity of that address, like I know where that house is in Beverly Hills, right? It was just simple terror tactics, right? Thrown out to scare everybody, when in reality, at that time, nothing was happening. We were under curfew and everything was quieting down. But it's such a confusing mishmash and mess, amplified by television. When you're sitting home alone, you feel it. This morning I went out into the world. Everything's normal. Everybody's
normal.
Working. Everything's fine. You know, do we God, what a mess.
I just wish the man at the top would get out and say something to the nation.
Not go into the bunker?
That would, what do they say? Pour oil upon the waters to calm things down. Isn't that what they said?
That's not going
to
happen.
Okay. Didn't they, isn't that what they said in the Bible? I always wondered what this pouring oil upon waters was meant to be.
What about lubricant? Putting some lubricant.
You have a lot of lube.
Yeah.
You have a lot of lube.
Oh, yeah. Getting it right. Well, that's not going to happen. Anyway, here we are. And I can't think of a better vehicle, by the way, for all of the madness, for the looting, for the riots, for the peaceful protesters, than this G-Wagon that I am driving, Zuckerman.
Absolutely.
It...
The last of the V8 Interceptors.
Hello. The 2020 G63 is the car in my driveway. And when I first got in it, and I think it was before everything went down, I felt so... You get in, you feel immediately safe. It's like you're in a bank vault. You're elevated. You're up high. And then the door lock goes. And, you know, I've said this about these cars before. It gives you this superficial feeling of safety that no other vehicle can give you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've driven this because one of your partners has one.
Yes, he does. And it's fantastic.
It's a, here's just the specs. 4-liter twin turbo V8 engine, horsepower 577. 627 foot-pounds of torque, which you definitely feel. This 2020 model now comes with an optional 4x4 package that turns the SUV into a serious off-roader, which is interesting. Didn't get a chance to use that yet. Don't think I will this week.
And don't use any bodies to test out the off-road capability.
Yeah, and I guess this is in the same category as your Range Rover Sport SVR and maybe your Lamborghini Urus, who's now a competitor. So I guess if you're in the market for this type of SUV, you're comparing against those two big guns. 0-60, I know I thought they reported 4.5. I think I saw a car and driver had it at 3.9. That's what it feels like to me, high threes. But it feels like you're driving a building, three-story building, 0-60 in 3.9 seconds. 5,800 pounds,
wow.
Which you don't feel in a straight line, but you do feel it as you're going around turns. Look, everybody wants me to review the car. I kind of like to review cars through use and lifestyle from not a very technical standpoint. And forgive me if you want that. Go to Matt Fair or go to someone else. I'm not going to give that to you. I can tell you, my family's in love with this. We got into it for the first time. We took a drive out to do a hike yesterday. The feeling of comfort in this car with these seats is amazing. It's, you know, I think it stickers it at 156. I'm sure this guy's 175. It's all olive green. Magno is the color. The spec is beautiful. The reaction from all the dudes Sunday at Bill's was over the top, as was so far. I'm getting complimented, which is odd for G-Wagon, a lot on this spec. Like, people love the way it looks. A lot of times, G-Wagons, people don't want to talk to those people, the G-Wagon.
Those
people.
Are the black ones, the shiny black ones.
What, you're not talking about the people. You're talking... I said those
Fariston.
People.
No, I said the
G-Wagon. I want you to clarify. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I just mean Fariston. That a G-Wagon person isn't necessarily liked on the road.
Right, in the shiny black version or the very dark matte version, which is like... You know, kind of flashy, obnoxious, bully boy version.
So this car was redone in 2019, and so this is essentially the new G-Wagon. I really love all the improvements. I love the way the exterior styling look. It feels a little bigger and wider.
It
I'm
is.
Guessing it is. The headlight treatment is looks better.
Very cool.
With these big eyes.
And the directionals on top of the fender.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such an interesting space to drive this truck because I drove it here today, and we have curfew in a couple hours, but I just feel so safe in it and so protected in it.
You want to dislike it for a second because it's so blingy. I think, man, does that look cheap? But then when you look at the attention to detail, all of the details so well executed, the leather, the way they've upholstered the car, the doors, the seats, the switch gear. It is really first class all the way. It blows away the competition.
Yeah, and we talked about this. We said we were telling Jerry because he has the 550, which would be my favorite model of this vehicle. I don't think it needs all the horsepower. I don't like my SUVs to have all that horsepower. But we were talking about, I said, when I get in, It really stroked my ego, and not necessarily in a good way, right?
Yes.
Like, I thought, if I were a young musician, 25, and had that character going on, I'd go, well, this fits perfectly. But it really does make you feel special. And for me, it was like, God, I'm feeling a little too special, and I have to be careful not to be an asshole.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Spike Ferriston, everybody.
Yeah, I really strive not to be that person. I try to have humility in life. But it makes you feel special, which is cool, right? It's really fun. So when you're by yourself, whatever. But when I took my wife and my kids out and we had the dog in there, it was nice. We felt special in the right way, and we had a nice drive in it. It was quiet. The kids had a little Wi-Fi spot. They were able to go on their iPad. The wife, who's not really a car person, really, she's like, oh, what is this? This is really nice. We had a nice afternoon in it, right? So, you know, that's it works in that regard. Interior seats, like you said, massage seats, heated seats, cooled seats, perfection. The radio, it's a Burmester. Unbelievable. Interface. You know, I actually listened to radio. I listened to HD radio on it, which was fun. The safety tech, noticeably better in a Mercedes. It's a little touchy. I haven't figured out how to adjust it, but there are times where, you know, I'm pulling up to a light on a two-lane road, and I'm a little too close to the car next to me.
Yeah, the lane assist is a shock.
It jumps. It beeps.
It'll give you a heart attack.
I can, it has directed me back into my lane a couple of times. These are all things you can adjust and turn off, but I just have everything on for now. I don't know. Incredible look. Big and beautiful. A win.
Am I allowed to ask you which car you would prefer out of three? Can I put you on the spot?
Well, I would probably say all three. But if it involves this car, I don't want to choose a car other than this one right now.
I don't
in a
think
review.
You would with my options.
Okay.
That's my point. So, for example, I would say to you, it's a lot more money than a Range Rover.
Right.
And it's a lot more than a Range Rover. In other words, it's a lot more. There's a lot more stuff in it than what a Range Rover has. It outrange Rovers the Range Rover by double. And then if I was to say the Lamborghini, I would take this over the Lamborghini.
Now, see, you just brought up three SUVs that I love.
I understand that. That's why I
love
put you,
all three for different reasons.
Right, and I put you on the spot. So if you had those three, and forget about the money, if I just put them in doors,
I couldn't choose in that conversation, because any given day it would be different. But it's an interesting comparo, because I would put the G-Wagon in the middle of those two cars.
Exactly. That's right? My point. It's in the middle.
And I don't mean in the middle in a bad way. I would say if there were a graph about drivability versus dragsterability, you have the Urus at the very end, which is really a performance car disguised as an SUV but usable. The Range Rover is really a luxurious experience, but very much not a dragster, unless it's the SVR, but I wouldn't be into that. And in the middle, you've got this thing.
Exactly.
But I love all of these things for very different reasons, and on any given day, I would choose something different. If I had any cons for this, they're minor. And this one, I'm not even sure about. Like, the shifter's on the column. They moved the shifter off the console area to give space.
The seat.
What did you think of that?
I didn't mind that.
You didn't mind it.
I didn't mind that. I liked it. What I didn't like was when the seats hold you in when you're making a turn.
Right.
And that was just the shock of it the first time. I wasn't expecting the seat like a living creature.
Grippy.
Yeah, to grip me in the torso. I didn't like that. I didn't appreciate it. Don't touch me. I wanted to scream at the car. Don't touch me. Stop touching me.
I do that during my Peloton rides. Yeah. They talk too much. I'm like, will you shut up?
I just want to ride.
Listen to the music. There have been lots of complaints about wind noise. I didn't notice that with the windows up.
Okay. If you have a car with the aerodynamics of a brick, and as you said, a brick standing straight up, you would expect to have some wind noise and buffeting. That's going to come
the
with
charm.
The territory of a vehicle that has that profile.
Yeah, remember, this is a cult vehicle. This is a vehicle Mercedes wanted to phase out a long time ago.
They made it for the military in Austria. Was it Steyr?
I guess, but the buyers here said, no, we love it, and it's weird and wonderful, and that's why we like it.
You have to expect wind noise when, as you said, you're driving a three-story building.
But, yeah, I mean, it's driving it out to Malibu, why do you want to roll all the windows down to this thing and open up the sunroof? That's not really, no, it's not that bad. It's just, this isn't the thing you do it in. You do that in a cabriolet. It's a gas chugger. But again, I don't believe that people driving...
I think a Lamborghini is more of a chugger. No?
I don't know about that. But the buyers of these cars don't really care about that, do they? I don't think they do that. And, you know, cornering is a little bit of an issue. If you're into cornering G-Wagons, again, I'm not sure you
pulling
care.
Pulling G's in the G-Wagon.
Yeah, pulling G's. And there's an interesting little... there are two bigger issues for me. One very big and one not so big, okay? Sunroof shade, which is manual. Like, you pull it forward, mm-hmm. you push it back, pull it forward. Has little vents on it so you can open up the sunroof,
right.
let air come in. But here in L.A., it just sends some sun rays down there, like a bright light down into your eyes. So
rays.
You've got, like here, midday, I had some sun in my eyes. Minor inconvenience. The biggest issue I have is... Apple CarPlay, this lovely, giant drive-in theater screen of your phone. You plug in your phone, you put in the little armrest console, no touchscreen. What that means is you're using a cursor system, the Mercedes cursor system. What that means is your eyes are down. And so imagine this. You're listening. You've got Waze on, and you want to make adjustment to the tone. You want to go to the car. Like in a Porsche, you just touch the screen quickly while you're at a red light, and then you can get whatever you want. Here, I keep finding myself cycling through many menus and jumping back and jumping off. And, you know, for this money, I want to be able to touch that screen and get to these shortcuts quickly. You know, I've been a little frustrated with that system. Again, like having this beautiful screen, but I can't touch the stuff I want to happen. I'm in multiple steps to cycle between Waze to Spotify, to listen to the podcast, whatever it is. And that, to me, is a safety issue. It just doesn't work for me because it's, you know, too much work. What did you think about the Apple CarPlay interface?
And what I think is nothing. I don't interface. I don't have an Apple. I don't want an Apple. The only Apple I want is a piece of fruit. And I don't want to interface with anything. I don't want my car interfacing with my phone. I don't want any of this shit, Ferriston. You know this.
What? You don't use Waze? You don't use these?
Before they were... Okay. I have a Thomas Guide imprinted in my head. I know how to get where I'm going.
What about the speeding tickets? They're so good.
Ferriston, I don't want any of this shit. I just want to drive. I don't want to be looking at the screen. I don't want to be fiddling around. I don't care about it. I'm a Luddite.
No, you're not. But you are making a very old man decision. Instead of embracing the new technology that comes along, you're saying I'm done.
I'm done. I'm saying I'm not going to put those little dicks in my ears. I'm not going to have dicks in my ears while I'm driving down the street.
They're Q-tips.
Whatever the fuck they are. I'm not sticking shit
in
my ear.
They make you mad.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't want it. The world was fine. I want to get off. I don't want to keep going forward.
Wow. These are some pretty big statements,
Zuckerman. I've told you before that to me, time should be like a subway system. I would have gotten off in 1995, and things could have stayed technologically where they were. I had a little Motorola flip phone. I was cool. I could turn on the television. I could turn on the computer. Everything worked fine. We are now so far beyond my bandwidth and my interest. I don't want any of it.
Well, I can't put you in the nursing home until this COVID clears up. But
put me in
everything
there now.
You're saying to me is saying you're ready to go to the nursing home.
Yes. I'm ready for captain's hat.
Last scene of The Irishman.
Yes, I'm ready for the captain's hat of the nursing home.
Now,
the
look,
final trip.
I'm with you on the captain's hat. I want a captain's hat and I want a Morgan. So I'm there. But I'd rather go out into the woods and live there. But I do like all of this technology. I love it because it's only when it's making our life easier. It's weird, you know. I feel like things got easy and now things are complex again. And I would really love car manufacturers to understand how important it is, at least for me, and I think a lot of younger folks. Connectivity with your phone to your car is probably in the top three most important things. And here's why, Zuckerman. And it's good for your business Because when you get into a situation like I was today, or you get into a situation with these cars that require you to look down, it's a, you're supposed to be hands-free. You're supposed to have this phone so that you can keep two hands on the wheel and drive. Except with some of these systems, you're actually looking down and playing with your phone more, which becomes more dangerous. Your eyes are down. You're looking around. You're not necessarily holding a phone to your face anymore. That's the good old days. This is, oh, wait, let me disconnect my Bluetooth, reconnect that, reset the phone's entertainment system because it didn't read it the first time, and the wireless. Things are jumbled. Too many
what
different systems.
What are you talking about?
Like, you- hey, here, I'll tell you this. In the 992, they got it right. That car, I sit in the passenger seat, driver's seat of that car, and boom, turn it on. My iPhone is on the screen, and that's the last I handle my phone.
Guess what? Guess what, Ferrisson?
Yeah.
I get in the car.
You pass gas, yes.
I push the on button. I put the windows down.
Yes.
I put it in drive, and I fucking go.
Yeah, but
I don't need any other shit. What are
you
talking about?
Yes,
you
do. Oh, my God. You need it more than anybody.
What are you talking about? I need, I need my connectivity. I don't need that stuff to drive.
You say that, Zuckerman, but every time we drive, no matter what car you're in, you do these drives with your phone pressed to your head illegally, driving like a maniac.
Not every time.
You need it more than anybody. You need it more than anybody.
I'm going to start throwing the phone in the back. I'm not even going to. I don't want to touch it. I'm sick of that fucking thing.
Do you know what it's like watching you in a Gullwing with your phone pressed up to your head, driving like a maniac? I worry for that car.
I worry for you, Ferrisson.
And I'm all about, I want to stay connected to my world, and I'm with you. When I want to drive, I turn the phone off. But frequently, we can't do that. So I just want it to be easy, and I don't want to break rules and crash into
people. This morning, let me give you the antithesis of this. This morning, I got in the 65-911. I was in Point Doom. I got on the road at 6:30. There wasn't a fucking person on the PCH. And I drove, I had the best drive of my life all the way into town. All of the looters and protesters and rioters or whoever of whatever stripe, they were all asleep and I was driving and I had a fantastic drive without any, the only connectivity I had was to the moment, was to the car and the road and the moment I was in. And that was the best part of my day. I didn't need any Apple fucking poo tooth or whatever, your dicks in your ears or connectivity, whatever you had.
You're not going to con me, Zuckerman. I watch you in those cars constantly. I would say a full 95% of the time you have a phone pressed to your ear on every drive.
That is not true. You're casting aspersions on me. You're casting aspersions. You're slandering me. And then that will not stand.
I look forward to the process of discovery.
I am more like... You
I
catch
would like
me.
You to sue me on this one.
Catch me. I want you to catch me. I want you to catch me.
Remember the day I caught you in the Carrera GT?
I was on steroids. They had injected me with steroids because my ears were shut, and it made me a fucking wild man.
That was really true. A wonderful period of Zuckerman. It was enjoyable to see that. It was fun.
The doctor put me on steroids, and I felt my mood like a dark curtain descending upon my mood, a blackness descending upon my mood. I felt it coming down upon me, and then I was ready to commit murder.
Really
and
amazing.
And there was a guy in a Ford Flex in his small car, and I was going to drive him at all costs off the road in my Carrera GT. And after I destroyed both cars, I was going to then pummel him to death.
Now you say were, but I was behind you and you tried to. You just gave him a couple like swerve warnings.
I wanted him to understand that.
Do you know how wild that was for me to watch? I was just
oh my God,
a Carrera GT.
$500,000 car. That was not going to stand in the way of me scaring him. He was going down. You know what happened to me though yesterday on the PCH? I'm coming towards Topanga. There's a car parked on my right. This car enters traffic without a blinker, as slow as can be. I'm in the number one lane, the left lane. And then he just sweeps across the number two lane into the number one lane. No blinker, no nothing. And I think, what is this person thinking? Why would you enter traffic in front of someone and get into their lane? You're supposed to enter traffic in the lane closest to the parking lane and stay in there when you're getting up to speed. Why are some people so fucking stupid?
I don't know, Zuckerman. I don't know. I don't know that we're going to get to the bottom of that today. But, yeah. By the way, twice last night, this goes against everything that I believe, but twice last night I saw the PCH referred to as PCH. I saw it on a sign on a lower third, and then I heard someone say it. They had no "the." So there is some truth to whoever's complaining about this. That doesn't mean we have to do it.
Ways.
What I know about the English language, Zuckerman, is it's malleable. You can turn it into whatever you want. Eventually, the popular usage becomes the usage.
QWERTY.
QWERTY.
QWERTY is the QWERTY principle. In England, they say, "I am in hospital." And in America, we say, "I am in the hospital." But in England, you will notice they never have the pronoun "the" in front of hospital. And I find that to be somewhat jarring.
Well, that's why we left, Zuckerman. That's why we left England. Don't approve of it.
Do watch The Villain, which is about English hoods, and you would like it very much.
I'm going to do that. Earlier today, I chatted with the host of Disney Plus's Shop Class, the very talented actor Justin Long. We had a wonderful conversation that I'm going to play for you right now. He's such a sweet guy. He eschews the Hollywood lifestyle. He lives in Connecticut so he can be closer to his family with his brother and his parents. He likes being out in the woods. He likes the lake. He likes the water. He couldn't be a sweeter guy, and we loved having him host Shop Class on Disney Plus. He did just a wonderful job for us there, and here's that conversation with Mr. Justin Long.
Spike. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How you doing?
What a perfect start.
You know what? I just totally forgot until I saw your name. I remembered, and thus the way I answered.
What are you doing right now? What are you doing that you forgot? I want to know exactly where you are and what you're doing.
Well, you know, ironically, is this irony? I just got back. I raced back so that we could get our own podcast recording done in time because we procrastinated because it was such a. I was up at the. I have a place on a very privileged and douchey, but I have a place on a lake, and it was such beautiful weather for Memorial Day that we just stayed, and I procrastinated everything. Including this, obviously.
Well, should we talk
for
20 minutes? I'm so excited to talk to you. First of all, you sound great. You sound really healthy. I was worried about you because I read somewhere that you had this coronavirus. Did you have this?
Yeah, this is kind of embarrassing. I haven't been tested yet, so take this all with a big grain of salt of... undiagnosed salt, but early March, I guess, March 12th, 13th, my brother's girlfriend, we're all here together in quarantine. And, before the quarantine though, she came back from a work trip and had what we now know to be classic symptoms of COVID. The weirdest one being, of course, that she'd lost her sense of smell and taste. And a couple of days later, my brother and I, we were, you know, taking care of her and being cautious about it. But like, I think there's just we share a space. And so we came down with symptoms that were very mild in comparison. Mine were of the three of us, the most mild. And so to even spend time talking about it. But of course, then we talked about it on the podcast, on our podcast. And so without thinking that it would ever be a semblance of a story, because we made it so clear that we're fine. You know, we our symptoms were so mild that it didn't even require, you know, we were talking to our doctor friend throughout it. And we never came to the point where we were, even close to being hospitalized or anything. So, you know, we were just being really cautious after we had it about going out, and we took an extra long time before we ventured back out into the world. But other than that, it didn't really. So it did come out, and I guess it was out in the press, and it was very mild. I mean, it was silly that it was even out, but I guess it was around that time news of it was so, people were clamoring for any sort of news about it that I guess it kind of makes sense.
Well, I think they are. I mean, I think people are naturally curious. You know, did it feel any different than a cold or the flu? I mean, it's, you know, the only stories that seem to be in the media are the stories of people dying. And the overwhelming majority of people get this, and they survive it, you know. So anytime there's a story,
which is why it's been helpful for us. We've had this great resource, and like I said, our friend Dave, Dr. Kessler is on the front lines. He's at Columbia in the emergency room. He does emergency room pediatrics, but now he's been dealing with COVID since the outbreak, and so we've had this great resource. And the most frustrating and slash scary part is when we'll go to Dave, who is like a, you know, he's top of his field, and we'll ask him a question about whether it's a symptom that we had or something that we're afraid might be happening to a friend of ours or a loved one. And the scary part is just how little that everyone seems to know about this. So, and how much we're learning all the time. But yeah, I think for the most part, it's mild. I mean, it's something like we had, which is not at all worth talking about. Of course, we've been talking about it now.
No, it's I find it personally fascinating. I mean, I haven't heard enough of these stories. My 90-year-old uncle, who's in a nursing home, this great guy got it and got over it in 3 days. And then I have a friend who was in the music industry who went out. He's dead, you know, and it's a frightening thing, I think, from all of us to be.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice. I don't know. It feels like it has something to do with genetics. It's obviously not just luck. I'm terrified. My brother knows of three of his friends, all of whom have elderly relatives in nursing homes around where we live in Connecticut. They all tested positive, and none of them were all that symptomatic.
Yeah, they were asymptomatic.
They recovered. And I'm now afraid. See, but the scary part about those stories getting out is that it might encourage people like my grandmother, who is in Florida, who, Spike, she's 103.
Oh, my Lord.
And her friend, who I'm so... She's the sweetest old lady, her friend Winnie, her younger friend, a young upstart punk friend who's like 95. She is taking her to like get her nails done and her hair done. Yeah. And I guess things are starting to open back up in her neighborhood. But I think the assumption is it's for people to use sparingly and very cautiously. And here's this 103. It's hard to be angry at her, but she survived the first. She survived Spanish flu. She survived that.
Wow.
Pandemic. So
that's incredible.
She's really asking for it.
So you just don't want to get tested to find out, or do they tell you just these tests aren't at all accurate, so don't even bother? Because I'd imagine.
No, I do want to get tested. Have not. I mean, we haven't also, I think if I were to take a trip, if I were to travel anywhere now, I would want to know. But because I don't think, and this is also from our doctor friend, his advice is that it shouldn't. And so it wouldn't really alter my behavior that much. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Well, you might not worry when you go down to the Ralph's or the to get some food,
saying,
right? You might not worry when you go down to the Ralph's to buy some grapefruit or something.
No, I would still, because that's the thing. There's no guarantee. I don't think they know. Isn't that the last couple of days I've been hearing that? Which is there's no
immunity.
They don't think that having antibodies, a person can produce enough to be immune.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't know. All of this is like...
I think, like you said, they don't know. Anyway, you live in Connecticut. You know, I like this about
that
you.
I know.
Justin Long, you kind of eschewed the kind of Hollywood existence out here, right? You know, you're a big movie star. You're making
movies. No, I just brought the Hollywood existence, the kind of douchey extravagance, to a nice little bucolic place in Connecticut.
But why?
I just transported it.
I'm starting to feel like that more and more, to get out of the big cities. It's all I wanted to do in the beginning. I'm from the East Coast, and I wanted to go to Boston, live in New York.
Oh, yeah, you're from Massachusetts, right?
Right. And now, as I'm heading into my last chapter years, I'm kind of thinking I'd like to get back there. Why did you decide to go back, or did you ever leave?
Now I just hear Jerry Seinfeld say, "No issue! No issue!" No issue. I don't know. Well, my parents are nearby. That was the big thing. I wanted to, my parents, my brother has a family, and I'm close with my nephews. I just wanted to be physically closer to them. And I just love the, you know, when I turned 40, I just felt things slowing down. I mean, it's really cliche, but I felt less of a desire to be going out and socializing, and it's very sad in a way. I'm just starting to wind down, and I just love the lifestyle here. It's a lot slower paced, and I'm close enough to the city, and there are times where I really miss LA too. See, you have a big family. They're probably so accustomed to life in LA now.
My boys would love to live in the woods. They want canoes, they want water, fishing poles, guns, and all sorts of manner of off-road vehicle, which I condone. I like that idea too.
Oh, Spike, you should. I mean, next time you do visit your family in Massachusetts, let me know, because you should go to my places in Massachusetts. It's on a lake. We've got all that stuff. The canoes.
Yeah, they go there.
That's what I was just doing. It's
they
the
have friends in New York that have a place in the Berkshires, and they go out there for a little in the summer.
Oh, nice.
But it's the wife, though. The wife is a different story.
Yeah. The wife, where's she from again?
She's from Southern Florida. And, you know, it's not necessarily about Hollywood or L.A. It's about heat. She likes heat. She likes warmth.
She has about
1,000 friends. I wouldn't be able to extract her from this situation.
I see. Well,
yes,
that's an issue I don't have to worry about. I mean, in the summertime, it's you go, well, whatever. We'll figure it out off there.
Yeah, we're gonna figure it out. Anyway, let's talk about our show. If you guys don't know, I've set this up already. But Justin Long is the host of Disney Plus's Shop Class, which also happens to be a show produced by not just him, not just myself, but Hangar 56, my company. And, you know, I just thought, here's what surprised me about you, Justin Long. We'd pitched this show to Disney Plus. They picked it up. They go, this is a great idea. It's a wholesome idea, perfect idea for what we're trying to do. And they said, like almost in the first conversation, we want to host this, Justin Long.
Weird.
Said, yeah,
that's what Disney said.
That's what Disney said right off the bat. And you know, John and I said, look, we love this guy. We were talking about it. I don't see the Shop Class connection.
That you and John were resistant to it.
We weren't resistant. We were trying to talk through.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, Fred, to be honest with you.
We were trying to talk
with you guys.
Well, let me just finish, because we were trying to talk through their excitement about it.
He doesn't let people finish stories.
We were saying, what is their excitement about Justin Long? So then, you know, we're looking through all your portfolio and your films. And then Dodgeball comes up, and the kids come in, and they go, oh, I love this movie. And I go, what do you think of that guy? They go, oh, he's amazing. I go, that's Justin Long. And I went, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. This
I'm
is about
through the potentially insulting part of this to grasp onto any kind of complimentary.
No,
thanks to your kids. Well, I appreciate your.
No,
kids.
This is about my blind spot to why you were going to be a great host for this show, and I'm admitting it right now. This is all negative on me.
It's very brave.
I had a blind spot, and by the way, I'm not saying I fought you in any way. I just said I'm not seeing it yet. And then you, then you came on the set. And, you know, when you guys, if you haven't seen this show, you got to check it out right now. The kids and the parents light up when they see Justin.
Oh, they love
you. And then You're so funny, and I hate to say this, but we had to edit out your jokes because you're just a nonstop joke machine of comedy.
It's funny. If I were a listener to your show, that would sound really annoying to me.
Wouldn't, because these are all the great hosts of shows like this. Like when you sit down with the guys who make the Steve Harvey show, or when Steve Harvey is hosting a game show, they say, Steve is one of the funniest guys in the world. You should see what we have to cut out. And we would watch outtakes of Steve because it was fun. It's a long way of saying that I think that's, you're a great host for this show.
Thanks. Well, you know, I love this is the thing I discovered about it, because I'd never done anything like that. And I had reservations about it because I had heard that you were involved, and John. but the thing that struck me was how naturally it just felt natural. I know whether or not like I'm good at it or it translates or whatever, that's not for me to cut, but it felt natural. It felt like a good fit. And I think it's just because I love, I don't know how to say this in a like non-creepy way, but I love talking to kids. I just like love interacting with kids. So it's sort of a dream job in that regard, that I get to just, and they're not, for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, you would know better, but they don't strike me as like phony precocious kids, you know. They're not like performance kids, little like,
no,
showbiz,
not at
kids.
All,
they're,
no, these
they're
are
just
real
like
builders.
Kids who are really smart and good at they're like little engineers. So interacting with them, that to me was the most fun, was just like when we'd get to interact with them, and it's as simple as that. I love doing it, and I'm really grateful to you guys.
Yeah, we loved I mean, really, I mean, it's funny because I felt the same way about the show. It, you know, I thought, God, am I too cool to work on something like this? And then right away I was in the room with everybody going, hey, and pitching ideas and working on the segments and going, hey, what if we, you know what we have to do if we build bridges? We have to ruin the bridges. We have to figure out what that looks like. And I, you know, see, I didn't know this whole side of you. This guy living out in the woods and getting in canoes and being on the lake. Dude, you were this guy already. I just didn't know that about you. And that was so nice about it. And like all, you know, great talent, when they come into a project, you elevated it with your hosting. And
thanks,
you know,
Mike.
It was a nice thing.
It was
just
a good environment.
Wasn't
it was
a good
a really
environment?
Easy going, yeah.
I hope we can figure out how to do it without this coronavirus.
I know.
For season two.
That's the challenge, huh? I mean, I'm now hearing things are opening up a little bit, but again, like we talked about, I guess that's the most disconcerting part, is that no one seems to really know, including the people at the very top.
Well, they do. And yesterday I was driving down through Westwood, and I saw a shoot happening at one of the outdoor rec centers, and it was quite interesting. It looked like a detention center. They had fencing. I don't know if you've ever been to Westwood Recreation Center, but they had like jail-like fencing across the entire front facade. They had, and now here's a nice part for you. For the talent, everybody gets their own trailer. So there were 30 mini trailers instead of the big trailers up.
Weird.
Lots of security guards, arrows, ins and outs. I have no idea what they were shooting, but there is... There's definitely.
Where was that, Spike?
This is right here in LA, in Westwood.
Oh, weird, weird. Also, I guess it's starting back up. Wow. I had heard. Okay. It's promising. I hope they figure out a way to do it, but I also hope it's obviously safe. I as much as I miss, and I really do, I know everyone who's not working now probably really misses it, but God, do I miss it. I of course, afraid, but certainly the theater, like I keep thinking about when will performing on stage, when will that happen again? Not be for until the vaccine, so there's a vaccine. I can't imagine people congregating packed together in theaters,
you know? Yeah. No, it's, you know, I imagine.
Anyway, this has been the show.
These are the things people want to talk about. This is the stuff I want to talk about. But I do think we're going to be charging through making shows just because that's the way it's going to happen. And you're going to hear that, you know, mostly happy stories and happy productions. And then
yeah, I mean,
the occasional
testing,
nightmare.
That's the thing, right? Like really reliable testing. I think that's just the thing that's the missing element now. That could be a game changer. There's just no way of knowing, you know, and with so many asymptomatic people, I'm an example of that.
Right.
Had I not been like aware of my exposure to it and sitting at home in a house with these two other people who clearly had it, I would never have. The symptoms that I had were so mild that I would have just gone about my day not knowing. I would have gone and not taken any precautions. So I think it's good that I think everyone's now aware of. My question is, like, how is it going to change even after this is over or even while it's still kind of lingering? How is it going to change things as simple as, and as a Seinfeld writer, I'm sure you're intrigued by this, a greeting, how we greet one another. You know,
right?
What is that going to look like?
Well, it's way better. It's already way better. You don't have to touch anybody, kiss them, or hug them, or shake their hands.
Yeah, there's no stopping chat.
No, I've been so happy. I mean, I have a lot of anxiety sometimes, social anxiety, and now I have none. It's actually it's ideal.
Me too. No, it's true. Yeah. In fact, for the show, I interviewed Howie Mandel, and
oh, geez.
You know, his name often comes up in my life in the context of. Oh, he's a germaphobe. You're also kind of a germaphobe. And of course, he's much more than that. And we I don't want to just paint him with that one brush. You know, Howie Mandel, famous germaphobe.
Yes. And when you say the show, you're talking about your podcast, Life is Short, with Justin Long.
Yeah.
An impressive podcast with guest rosters like Kristen Bell, Alec Baldwin, Jonah Hill, Amy Sedaris. Wow. You got
all
some
at the same time. They were all on.
They were all together. Wow. How did you keep track of them? Do you like podcasting? Are you new to the podcasting world?
I'm new to it. I love it. Similar to the show, our show that we were talking about, I really enjoyed it once I started doing it. Because, you know, I guess you never know with it. Although I'd been a guest on podcasts and always enjoyed that.
Right.
Because as you can hear, I love droning on and talking about myself.
You're the best type of guest. I love it.
Yeah, it's the best. I get to do with my brother this show. And, you know, there's no one I enjoy talking to more. We do it anyway. We just are now doing it occasionally in front of microphones. So, and then we'll do the intro and outro with him. And then the bulk of it is an interview, which I also love. I just love talking to people. So it's been a joy. I've only been doing it a year. So that's the other fun part is like I feel myself getting better and being more present and I guess just more comfortable with it, which goes a long way.
Well, can you believe this guy? He's so nice. You're one of the nicest. You.
Oh, I thought you.
No, I'm just trying to reconcile how different you and I are. You're so nice. You love your family.
What would you say about it?
You want to move and live near your family. You're just a nice guy, Justin Long.
Well,
you're a nice guy.
Well, what would you say about podcasting?
No, I like what you said about podcasting. I'm already off that. I love it. I think it's wonderful. For me, it's very therapeutic. Like, I don't know why, but, you know, before I started chatting with you and after we stop in a moment, I'm going to feel better. I don't know. I just feel better every time I do it. And the listeners are always seem to be grateful to have some content. And I'm happy to provide that for them.
Therapeutic is a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Which is selfish. We've also been doing like a midweek check-in episode where we call friends and we call our doctor friend and we check in about the state of things. And therapeutic is a really good word for it. So selfishly, it's been a nice creative outlet and a way to during this quarantine to almost check in with the world to connect with other people. It's been a real joy. It's been a real nice.
Well, there
outlet.
It is, man. Well, that's your time. Thank you for giving it to us. You were
thanks, Spike. Sorry, I started this so negatively.
Oh my God, it was great. It was wonderful. And when you're out here and we're shooting again, we'll have to do it in person. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that. Shop Class Season 1 is currently airing on Disney Plus. Check it out. Three teams of two kids.
Wait, Spike.
Yes.
Why do you say check it out?
check it out. I had a Boston accent, and I changed it on my own at college, and it came out
a little Canadian. A thick Boston accent.
That's right. Shop Class, in case you don't know, is three teams, two kids, and shop teacher compete to build a project judged by an architect, an interior designer, and a Disney Imagineer, and it's hosted by the great Justin Long.
And someone who knows nothing about any of those things.
The funny guy who keeps it all together, but who is curious and is learning like we are in the audience. Life is Short with Justin Long is his podcast. You can get that anywhere. Where your podcasts are available. He's also got a new movie just wrapped out, according to Instagram, Lady of the Manor.
Wow, yeah.
Look at that. Judy Greer.
That's what I did with my brother as well. I can't wait for you to see it. In fact, I want to send you, I would love your thoughts on it. I'd love to send you a rough cut of it.
Really? That would be wonderful. I would love to see it,
Spike. We need good notes from funny people, from funny writers.
I don't know that I could provide that, but I'd be happy to try.
I thought you might know some. We would love that.
All right, buddy.
Good to hear from you. Hopefully soon. Hopefully, you know, let me know what you hear.
All right. And go get tested so we can know for sure what's going on.
Okay. And thanks to your kids for changing your mind about casting me.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.